Hello, we are Real Life Lovers. I'm Diana.
And I'm Murph.
And you're listening to Ménage à Trois Radio, where we discuss your hearts and your parts.
Oh, baby, do we ever. We also invite a third party to join us here in the sack. We'll be chatting about sex, relationships, and every goddamn thing in between.
That's true. How are you, darling?
Oh, doing good. Still recovering from our 100th episode, Orgy.
Yep, we're still hungover. Days later, my skin hurts.
Yep. You look wonderful, although you might be bad inside. You rotten, as we both are.
Well, that's what's important.
Yeah.
You know who else looks wonderful?
Oh, my. You know this by way of Boston Beefcake. He's a Primetime Emmy Award-nominated writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver on HBO. He also has written for Billy on the Street, The New Yorker, and more.
Yes, he's a co-creator and co-author of the popular Modern Seinfeld Twitter account. And he wrote your favorite book, You Blew It, An Awkward Look at the Many Ways in Which You've Already Ruined Your Life. Welcome, Mr. Josh Gondelman.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, thank you for being here.
Thanks for being here. Ah.
Oh.
You're like...
This is a very sensual beverage sesh.
Mm-hmm. It is. We do try to be a fancy podcast, so we like to wine and dine our guests.
What did Josh want?
Josh wanted a coffee. Iced coffee, whole milk, sugar. Went to the old D&D. No, that's not what... DD, I guess. I don't know. D&D is something else entirely.
Dunkin's and donuts.
Yeah, Dunkin's and donuts.
I prefer the Dunkin's.
So we got a little zip in our step for this episode.
Yeah, this is a perfect beverage. We were just saying how we're very happy that you didn't ask for booze because we would have probably died.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that would have been reckless. Can I say when we're recording or is this what?
Oh, yeah.
It's noon on a Monday. Let's get tore up.
Yeah, the rest of our day and possibly Tuesday will be ruined because of it.
Let's ruin the week because of the first thing we did this week.
Yeah.
Just destroyed. You're worth it, but I'm enjoying the sweet, sweet coffee.
Yeah. It's really good. I talk about this all the time with everybody, but I authentically love Dunkin' Donuts, and people who don't, I'm like, what do you like?
Yeah.
Yeah. What else is there?
Yeah. It's almost like people who won't go to Dunkin' Donuts are like people who refuse to drink like whatever beer is around.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes.
Well, you don't have a craft brewed IPA. Not for me.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm sorry you don't live in America with the rest of us.
Yeah, so sorry you have to come down out of your castle every now and again
yeah.
and fucking take a sip of a regular beverage.
And I also feel like you're setting yourself up for disappointment when you have really high standards for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you go to a party, you don't like what they have.
If you're a billionaire and you've got nothing but assistants who are willing to constantly feed you and drink you anything you want.
But who is that?
Who is that? That's like one or two people. I don't know.
So, Josh, are you single?
I'm not. On my taxes, I am.
Got it.
But I'm in a relationship.
Yes. So right. Unmarried. So
I'm unmarried. I always feel weird checking that box on my text where it's like, I live with my girlfriend. Like, she can't know that I said I'm single.
There should be another box on taxes.
Yeah, the IRS should give the option of, yeah, exactly. At least, yeah, married, single, in love.
It's like, look, we're really serious. It's just like, we don't know if marriage is the right step for us right now.
If there's like room to add on.
Yeah, other, yeah. And you can explain your situation to the IRS.
You don't get to tell the government it's complicated.
No, they don't want to hear that. Even though they're complicated.
Yeah, the whole fucking form is complicated.
They're so complicated.
Yeah, they make it not easy for you.
Guys, this isn't very sexy, but I'm scared of doing my taxes.
Oh, man, yeah.
I also am, and I finally got them done.
Wow.
For me this year, and it was incredible.
It's That's worth it.
Helpful.
It's super worth it because he did a better job than I would have done. You know what I mean?
Yep.
In terms of like figuring out what I can deduct and what works.
Yeah.
And it saved me the angst of like putting it off till the last minute, then being like, oh, I don't have stamps. I guess my taxes are late now.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess I'm a felon because the post office is closed.
I'll live in jail now.
Yeah,
it is a real hassle doing them. Now that we're married, we do we're jointing up this year. We jointed last year, right?
We jointed
it on up.
But it's
which I think
be really
saves a couple bucks.
That's exciting.
Yeah, that was one of the perks.
That's why we got married. And I told the IRS as much on my tax form.
You checked that other and said I married because I want that sweet cash back.
I did. Also, you're from Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like Boston?
I do like Boston.
Okay.
But I realize what's not to like about it.
I like Boston too, but I think it's like a easy city in New York to be like Boston.
Right.
Like
yeah.
Philly.
I wonder why. Yeah. Boston. And well, Philly just hates everyone and everyone hates Philly. I feel like there's no, Philly. It's not even like Boston and Philly would get together and be like, let's hate on New York.
No, they wouldn't. They would hate each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's like the enemy of my enemy is a sweet ass new enemy.
Is another damn enemy.
Yeah. But Boston and Philly are so similar.
Aren't they?
Where it's like, so much history and education and sports, and then like a lot of northern racism.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not my favorite part.
No,
I'm
no.
not bringing that up as a thing I love.
No, it's very divided.
Yeah.
They're both very
divided. It's super segregated, and mm-hmm. It's really messed up in that way. But it also is like, I grew up in the suburbs. I lived in the city for several years before I moved to New York. So I really like being, I'm going back this week to record a new stand-up album.
Oh, nice.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm very, like, excited. It'll be, like, a real nice hometown crowd.
That's
and, like,
fucking great.
It's nice to picture, like, okay, I'm going to get a burrito across the street at my favorite burrito place, and then I'm going to, you know, have coffee from this other spot and, like, chill, and all my friends that I know where they, you know, live in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I'm just now, I've been in New York for, like, 4.5 years, and I kind of just now have that feeling about places here. Where it's
right.
Like,
it takes a little time.
Yeah. And I lived in a neighborhood where there was a coffee shop I really liked and some restaurants, but there was like there were no shows that were walkable. There mm-hmm. was no like crew of people that I knew that lived in the same neighborhood. And now I'm like kind of I have a more cozy like pocket of the city.
Dude, yeah. It makes all the difference.
It's so much different.
Yeah. Because otherwise you just get ripped to shreds in the city if you're just kind of wandering around yeah. aimlessly, just hoping to find a group of people or a nice spot you can go to grab a beer that people.
And because then you end up at the end of the night and you're 50 minutes from home and you're drunk, like wrestled yourself into the subway because you were like, I shouldn't spend $35 on a cab because I don't have a job right now.
And I might barf in it.
Yeah. So you're on the subway and it's like 1 a.m. and you're just like, oh, this is like real loneliness.
Yes.
Yep. This is true loneliness.
Drunk alone on a train at 1 o'clock in the
morning. Yeah. And there's other people, but you're like, that's even lonelier.
Yeah. Well, because they don't really want to, I feel like especially at that hour, I think most times, but people don't really want to connect as much, I think, at that time of night.
Yeah, for
sure.
So
you just kind of get on, and it's like no one will even really acknowledge that anyone else is on the train. So it
and
is
someone's
isolated.
Crying, and someone's like having a seizure, and no one cares.
And it's like, and there's like a homeless dude asleep, and you're like, man, I'm so sorry that this is where you have to do this.
Yeah.
And now we're like sharing this space.
Right.
You know, like,
you're like, I'm also going to sleep here tonight because I'm way too drunk
right.
to get home.
And it's like, it's not like, oh, it's inconvenient for me. It's just like, oh, there's like this layer of like grit and sadness that you're just like exposed to.
Yep.
But I feel like there's less of that in my life now.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think people just, half the reason they like hook up with people is so that they can like sleep in a closer neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I would rather not have to go home tonight if I can. Yeah. It's like, where are you? Oh, we can walking distance or maybe
great.
Just a stop or two on the train. Yeah. This seems like
absolutely.
A good
my girlfriend and I dated Greenpoint to Harlem.
Wow.
For a year.
That's love.
So, yeah. I feel like if it wasn't, we wouldn't still be doing it.
No, because that's a hell of a commute.
It's a real.
That's
a real
long pain. Distance.
It is.
It's basically like you guys Skyped a lot.
It's three a lot of Skype.
Yep.
We're like, we're the only people who live in the same city that have phone sex more than regular sex. Not true, obviously.
Well, speaking of phone sex, which has come a long way
it
scientifically,
has.
Let's chat a little bit about sexy science.
So what do we do here?
Well, here we combine our loves of everything sexual and scientific.
Mm-hmm.
We rip articles from the headlines.
Ripped from the headlines.
This one we tore right from our favorite rag, Jezebel. Title of this article is Japanese Women Demand Right to Keep Their Surnames After Marriage. Dog John,
nah, nah. Say my name, no one is around you. Say, baby, I love you. You ain't running game. Say my name, say my name.
All right. So basically since
thank
you. I was really proud of that one. So basically since 1896, married couples in Japan have legally been obligated to take the same surname, that's last name, to us in America. However, 5 women are suing the Japanese government to end this antiquated rule.
Yes, the women say the law is unconstitutional and violates married couples' civil rights.
One thing that's interesting is it doesn't say. Thank you, Han.
You're welcome.
What's funny is the law doesn't say the lady has to take the guy's name, which
just
I think
is they have to have the same one
yeah.
after they're
oh, interesting. Oh,
that's
so
fascinating.
96% of women take the guys, but that means 4% of women in Japan give their husband their name.
Yeah. That's, man, those are probably the 4% of most like bold,
badass,
dominant
yeah.
women
oh, yeah.
in Japan.
Yep.
Those were just like, oh yeah, now you're my name now. Yep. Yeah. Now no one does that. Oh, we're doing that.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, as fucking corny as it is with the gender norm shit, but I imagine like those dudes definitely get their balls broken by their friends since they're such a minority of that. So now I'm calling you.
They're probably just the coolest dudes.
Right.
They're like, let's do it.
Yeah. They're just like, hey, of course, I love you, and it, like, doesn't matter, and you shouldn't have to be my property because we're married. It's like, yeah, I'll do whatever. I'm balling out of control.
Yeah.
I'm balling out of control. I just think it's hilarious that it's you have to have the same last name.
Yeah.
I didn't take your name.
No, you don't have to do that in America. It's again, we're back to the IRS. You just, as long as you can check that married box, they don't give a fuck what your last name is.
It's just, I think that's a really funny rule. I don't know why.
It
but
is
they're
strange.
Suing the Japanese government, and two courts have overturned it, like are not down, but there's another hearing on December 16th, which is in 2 days from when we're recording this, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I wonder,
come on,
I don't
Japan.
Know how long you've been with your lady or if you've ever discussed this before, because it always seems like it is for couples we've talked to and got engaged, people always seem to ask, or they'll say, oh, are you still just on Facebook going by this, but legally you're doing that? Which seems to be Facebook is where everybody knows who people's names are.
There are people who I don't, that got married and I'm like, I don't know who this person
yeah.
is. I don't know, like, oh, I was born in 1985, so like, if your name is Caitlin and I don't recognize your last name, a picture as big as my thumb isn't going to do it for me.
Right, with like sunglasses and a beard.
Yeah,
and you're like, who are you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Beach Caitlin. Sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Beach Caitlin.
Not Mountain Caitlin. Beach yeah. Caitlin. Yeah.
Or Caitlin with a baby.
Yeah.
And you're like, Rebecca Smith. And then you're like, oh, Rebecca Horowitz.
Right.
Like
right.
That you're just like, who, what? Right.
Nay Horowitz. Or is that a.
Nay, yeah.
Nay?
Exactly.
Is that what. Yeah, what does that mean? Is that French?
Born.
Yeah, you got
born.
It.
Born
I
Horowitz.
I think you did 100% correctly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always Horowitz.
It's always Horowitz. Well, Winona Ryder is Winona Horowitz.
I
so
know
that's
that.
My go to because it's such a good example of like the
yeah.
stage name,
yeah.
name change.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think Winona Ryder would be Winona Ryder. Coming up in the 80s if she was
Winona Horowitz?
Well, no, it doesn't quite have the same
I
punch
love it,
to it.
But
she
yeah.
could have been a Beastie Boy.
She could,
yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
She was the fourth.
She's, yeah. Winona Rock? Okay.
Winona Rock. I was trying to figure out how to do it with her
Why
name.
Rock?
I think you nailed it.
Dub Rock.
Dub Rock is good.
Just screamed. Sorry.
Yeah, we never even really discussed doing it or thought about doing it, I don't think.
Well, it comes from property. Like, you're like, let's combine our lineages to own property. It's, like, very antiquated. I think there's something nice about it. I'm not dissing people who want to do that. Like, we're going to be one family. But when you get married, like, we got married when we're 32.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just become a different
else.
Person. Unless you do, and that's fine.
Our dog has a hyphenated last name.
Wow.
Yes.
So we've done that.
Progressive.
But, yes. Thank you. But I'm always curious about what's going to happen when the generation where there's like a lot of hyphenates, which I think is probably our generation, marries other hyphenates.
Yes.
And then it's going to be -M-. It's going to look like an NCAA tournament.
Yes.
Everybody's name, which I'm excited about.
Sure. You got to play the like, brackets of the last names to find out who needs to call you what, because you can't say 40 last names.
It's like, she's just Rebecca semifinals now.
Yeah.
Which would actually be a kick-ass name.
Yeah, Rebecca Final Four.
Yeah. So you could probably get all sorts of sponsorship from the NCAA, unless you're a player, in which case they won't give you a dime.
Nope.
You're like, it's actually semifinal, but thank you.
Semifinal.
Rene semifinal.
Knee Horowitz.
Everyone's Horowitz in the beginning. Well, I feel like that's like old European names, though, are like 50 names long. And it's because it's like every... buddy you're related to and every town you're from and like you know what I mean?
Yeah, you got a little bit of everything.
Your whole Facebook profile was just your name.
Exactly.
Yeah, because they didn't have, they didn't have the info and interests and relationship status and all that other shit.
You just have a tiny oil portrait of you with like big hair and you're like, which
you
one is that? Yeah.
You.
Like, I don't know which Elizabeth that is.
Beach Elizabeth, I think it was, based on that oil painting.
John Blacksmith of Canterbury.
Yeah, yep. Well, we know what his trade is. Yeah, what's the...
Oh, yeah, the trade.
What about the kid, too? I mean, we never... I mean, we're not having a kid, but at this moment, but...
I have something to tell you.
You're giving birth.
I'm barren.
Right now.
No.
I thought something wiggling around under the table.
It's my baby.
Well, hyphen, or I just don't really care.
The
flip for it.
I want to have a kid... Sorry, no, we have to move on. But if we have a kid, I think we should do that thing where you give him just like one power name.
Like yep. Cher?
Oh,
yeah.
Like a new, yeah. Cool. That is progressive.
Or Beyonce.
Yeah.
I mean,
if we just named our kid Beyonce, they would be in great shape.
That's definitely in my head because of Say My Name from earlier.
Yeah, for sure. You know what else is of the moment?
What?
Our listeners, because they're listening right now, and we need to give them a little love in listener love.
Listen, a mailbag.
So what do we do here, darling?
Oh, here we, goodness, I'm belching up a Dunkin's.
That's what a Dunkin' is.
Yes. People, they write into us, they email us, they tweet at us. Sometimes they grab us on the subway, lonely at 1 a.m., and they ask us some advice. So, Josh, please help us out with these people, because we're not great at it.
Happy to help.
Great.
Are you good with advice?
I think I'm okay at it.
Nice.
We're terrible, so...
Okay. So two terribles and an okay make for some good.
Oh, boy.
Haas, who do we have?
Our first question is from Reed in Los Angeles via our Facebook page, Ménage à Trois Radio. Reed wonders, I recently joined Crunch in L.A. and have seen people fucking and sucking all over the place. It makes it hard to get in shape. Are gyms just sweaty fuck palaces?
Well,
you're a poet.
There's a lot going on here.
I love this Crunch, guy.
I didn't know what it was.
Is a gym? No, I thought it was a candy bar store.
Yeah, I was thinking Captain Crunch or something
for like a year.
Yeah.
So Crunch is a gym.
Okay.
And people are just going at it in this guy's gym.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, I don't think we can. I don't think he's asking for anything that will ruin his life if we screw it up.
No.
Oh, no.
No, no. The stakes for this one, I think, are low enough that we shouldn't ruin his
life.
He
just needs a definition.
Yeah, exactly. He just needs to know if they are, in fact, fuck palaces.
Well, I didn't think that they were, but I've been to gay gyms where they are.
Yeah, that's like, kind of like a bathhouse.
Yeah, my situation. Friend Billy took me to David Barton, and there were just people fucking all over the place.
Whoa.
But then when I joined like 24 Hour Fitness for 5 minutes.
Thinking there was
stopped.
Just going to be fucking 24 hours a day.
No, like sadly trying to get in shape, and there was no fucking anywhere.
Yeah, I guess it depends on your gym. I've never, I've been to like a rec center. I've never really been to a gym.
I've been to a rec center.
I once passed a basketball court.
Is that like the YMCA?
Yeah, isn't that that place where you just kind of, there's a pool and a basketball
I think anywhere people are kind of like half naked and working on their bodies,
right,
that's going to present itself.
Right.
But like, it's not a fuck palace.
I don't think that's what I think people.
I've been to Planet Fitness. That's what I used to go to. And that's more of broke down palace. It was more of a place where Claire Danes would be detained falsely for drug trafficking.
And like can't make a phone call.
Yeah.
Starving.
Yeah. That's what Planet Fitness was.
Yeah, because gross gyms, I think, would not be...
No, attractive to be
as
exchanging fluids.
Yeah, whereas a really fat, like Equinox, you might be like so sleek.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
But a Planet Fitness was a judgment-free zone, which means you can't be like, you're a gross slob, but you also can't be like, hey, you're looking slamming. Let's do it on this treadmill.
Wait, how do they enforce that?
This is true. There's a lunk. Oh, there's like an alarm. If somebody's like showing off, like if somebody's lifting weights and like, then they ring an alarm that's like, and it's for like when someone's being a douche.
Yes,
that's
the douche
amazing.
Alarm.
Yeah.
We need those more in more places.
I know. Planet Fitness is a true pioneer.
That's so funny.
Maybe that's the gym for me.
I think so.
I've never been able to do a gym.
I don't like it, and I stop. Like, that's the thing about working out is that you can always stop. Like, one time I had to run for a gig I was doing. I ran for, like, 5 weeks, 6 days a week. And before I, like, got in the rhythm of it, I ran, like, 2 miles one day. And I lived at 137th Street. I ran down to 96th Street. And then I just stopped and ate pizza. And then when I was like, well, the wheels are off. And then I ate ice cream. And then I took the train home. It's like, you can do that every time.
Yeah, yeah.
And you feel like you earned it.
Yep.
But you're undoing all the good.
Oh, yeah. Way over undoing it.
Like I could have just, cut all these corners and just stayed home today and, maybe ate a sandwich around the house.
So, Reed, why don't you maybe do some working out outside the gym?
Yeah.
And eat ice cream alone.
That was pretty good advice.
I think we nailed it.
I think we did.
Helped.
Haas, who else? That one goes in the helped pile.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our second question was emailed to us, menageatois.radio@gmail, from Wally in Boston. Wally asks,
Boston. Mm-hmm.
I kissed my maid on the mouth last week.
What? Wait, how is he emailing from the year 1812?
I just stepped out of a time machine.
Wow, Wally.
This is a Henry James problem.
Semifinals.
So he kissed his maid on the mouth last week. I'm pretty sure she liked it, but I feel weird.
Whoa.
That I pay her to come over.
One, this is a Seinfeld episode.
Yes, yes. Kissing the maid is definitely...
Two, pretty sure she liked it.
Yeah, that's
not good enough.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That does not cut it.
Yeah, that's like kind of a crime, right? That's like not an okay thing to do.
There's more.
But here's the thing. This is what he's wondering. Is he an a-hole?
Yeah. I think that's a firm
unanimous.
Yes.
Unanimous.
Definitely.
It is. Yes. Well, it's because, you know where... I'm pretty sure she liked it is actually you're answering your own question by saying this is someone who works for you.
Yes.
So she hated it, but she wasn't able to clearly say she hated it because she doesn't want to fucking lose her job.
Yeah.
So that's where the pretty sure comes from.
Yeah.
That means no.
Or she liked it and you need to like stop paying her to be your maid and change the relationship.
I'll give the benefit of the doubt. You're right. Maybe, yeah, she only said pretty sure because she doesn't want to complicate the working relationship.
I feel like you're definitely an asshole.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you crossed the power dynamic.
But you can't do that.
No.
Either way.
No.
Because she's like in a subservient position.
Yep.
Right. And it's not that maids don't deserve love.
No.
It's just you're not allowed.
No, that's what I was saying.
Maids and butlers go straight to hell. You get no money. Well, we're in the 18th.
I grabbed my butler's left buttock. I'm pretty sure he enjoyed it.
I was necking with my doorman.
I was engaging in some heavy petting with my concierge.
I'm pretty sure he was awake. Am I a bitch?
I think you need to... Yeah, you can't do that.
No, that's a no.
That's a bad move. Unless you know someone's going to... Unless the maid was like, kiss me, and you did it. And then she was like, oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, maybe the smooch was subpar.
Yeah.
What if she goes, I think I liked it. So that's directly why he's not sure.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't... If you're kissing someone you're not supposed to kiss... You better be sure they've invited you to kiss them.
Yeah.
It's not like a first date scenario where it's like, well, good night. This is cool. Let's do this again soon. And then someone's got to do it or no one's going to do it.
Yeah.
You have to wait for that ideally written invitation.
Sure. Yeah. Hopefully it's an official invite that arrives in the mail.
I picture her like dusting and him just grabbing her and kissing her on the mouth.
Yeah. That's like the passionate porn scenario is the French maid outfit. Mm. And yeah, he grabs her from behind and there's a kiss and it's, oh. The maid.
I kissed my maid.
Yeah, just.
All right.
It's Charles Dickens emailing the show.
Yikes. I hope he is. All right, Wally. Yes, you're an asshole.
Yeah. Helped.
Helped.
Totally helped.
Who else do we have, Haas?
And lastly, Pauline in Tampa, Florida messaged us on our Tumblr, Menage a Trois Radio. Pauline says, as a lesbian, I get annoyed when straight girls dabble in gayness and then pretend to be bisexual. So tell them all to fuck off.
Mm. Not a
tell
question.
Tell them all. That was,
well,
so we've had
a couple hours.
No requests, just two definitions and an edict.
Yikes.
That's how the listeners do it. This is just basically we got to go out and tell them all to fuck off. And there's a lot of them, I think.
I don't know if I want to tell people to fuck off.
No.
I understand the gripe, and I've heard that before, but like... People just do what they want. You got to like let it go.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess the gripe is that it's if it's not a fun vacation for some people to just or a novelty of sorts, then it's like, yeah, I've this is who I am and I've had to go through hardships and live because of that. And you just have fun maybe making out in a bar every now and again for some attention, I guess is the sounds like the tone of what.
Yeah, definitely. But also you just have to let people do it.
Yeah, people are just
going
to do what they're going to do.
Yeah, especially if they're, I think if you're, I mean, again, as like a straight guy, maybe this is not my province, but I think if you're claiming the identity, if you're saying like, I'm a bisexual person, and the way that manifests is sometimes you make out with women, then it's like, okay.
Yeah.
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 You don't get.
It's interesting to be quick to judge on the other side of that.
Yeah. I think that the thing of coming from this as like a straight dude, just like the most, having the easiest time of everything.
Yep.
Is like, I try to be very understanding of like, people are like, well, this is who I am. And I just go, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like whatever led you here.
Right.
This is where you are.
Yep.
Well, and I think that's the best way to proceed.
I think so too. Yeah. And I think also, we've talked about with the, you know, various ends of the spectrum and bisexuality and why there should just be two sexualities seems, you know.
I mean, you had sex with a couch once.
I did. So what does that make me?
I don't know.
Yeah. An inanimate object. I was probably just a pervert. Yeah.
I kissed my couch.
I kissed my Am I an asshole? I mean, it seemed like it was okay with it.
Depends on who else has to sit on the couch.
Oh, man. All right. Sorry, Pauline. But I think you just got to let it go. Right?
Yeah.
Helped.
Wow, we helped a lot of people.
Jeez, we really did.
There were no questions necessarily in there, but I think we
and
helped.
One listener we openly defied.
Yes. We said, no, we will not go tell a bunch of people to go fuck themselves. We do have some actual questions.
Oh, yes, we do.
This is a little number called Six Sections. These are six rapid-fire sex questions.
Okay.
These are for Josh Gondelman. So you just answer as quickly as you can.
Cool.
And it begins now. Number one, which Golden Girl best represents your dating habits?
Oh, gosh. The one that's still alive.
What's the sexiest animal?
Lynx? Is that an animal?
Yes, mm-hmm. It is. 69 or 420?
I guess 69.
Who is your number one celebrity crush?
Julianne Moore.
Which U.S. president would you bone?
Warren G. Harding seemed to get after it. I feel like he'd have skills.
My bell's broken. And lastly, what's the single most important characteristic you look for in a partner?
Like enthusiasm.
Yes.
This has been Six Sections with Josh Gondelman. Thank you, sir. Some follow-ups.
The lynx is a. I love that answer because big cats are sexy, but the lynx is not too big.
No,
it's not no, overwhelming. Terrifying. Yeah, I mean you start out with a tiger, you're going to be in. For
yeah,
it.
Sexiest. I don't have that kind of tiger charisma.
No. I mean, we all try to pretend we do sometimes, but in reality, a lynx is more than a handful.
Yeah.
In the bedroom,
certainly.
Also, I find animals with an X in their name to be sexier.
Yes, yeah. Lynx is a.
It's
a real
sexy
name.
There's definitely strip clubs called that, right?
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah. Our child, that's the single name we can go with if we want to be really progressive. No last name, just Lynx.
What if it was Hitting the Lynx and it was a golf themed child? No, a strip club.
Oh, okay.
A golf themed child.
Dress him up with little knickers.
Tiger Woods was a golf themed child.
Yes, he was. Yeah, right out of the womb.
Lynx would also be a great one power name.
Yeah, it would.
I'm Lynx. All right.
Hello.
I can't believe there wasn't like a band in like 1988. With
that sounds
one.
Like a hair metal
situation. Lynx?
Yep. I think Styx was like Styx or Lynx.
They were like, yeah, we got to go with Styx.
Warren G. Harding.
Yeah. He got after it. He was a go-getter.
Love letters came out that were like super filthy and it was like, oh man, I feel like this is going to be an experience.
The best.
Julianne. What does he look like? I can't picture him.
Oh, horrifying. Like, picture.
What was his personality?
Yeah. He looks kind of like the Muppet that's an eagle.
Oh, yes. Oh. The Uncle Sam, kind of like the furrowed brow. And
yep.
The
I can picture that. That's a great description.
Thank you.
Yeah, it is.
Julianne Moore.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Damn.
She's
a great choice.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
She's amazing. She's so talented.
She is.
So the Golden Girl you met, was that Betty White?
I think so. Okay. I don't know a lot about the Golden
Girl. She is the only one still. Well, because I think Rue McClanahan's no longer with us.
Is Dot dead? Yeah. Dorothy?
Dorothy. B. Arthur is dead, yeah. B. Arthur's dead and played Sophia. Jesus Christ. Estelle Getty is dead.
Well, that's a bummer.
Yeah. So you might as well date like the living.
Date like the living. That's my motto.
Me, man.
That's,
I date like the living.
Whoever is still
my
alive.
Online dating site.
DateLikeTheLiving.com.
And you like an enthusiastic partner.
I do. I'm like, I find that so appealing. Like, enthusiastic about the relationship and also about, like, things in general. Like, has passions and interests.
I think that's great because I think there's a trend that's very much the kind whatever. Of detached or irony and just kind of, whatever is whatever. But
I don't like
no
that
passion
at all.
Is, yeah, just boring.
Yeah. It's, it's so tiring to be, because what I've had experiences dating people in the past that were like very like bitterly sarcastic about things. And it got to a point after like a year, I'd be like, wait, do you even like me? Or like,
is this ironic?
It's hard to get an emotional read on anyone under the age of 26.
Is this a bit that you're doing?
Like, this is my boyfriend. Yeah. I don't know.
I've met your parents. Like, what kind of elaborate long con is this?
Those weren't my parents.
Yeah. It was all a bit. Let's slide over to PC Spotlight, huh?
Let's do it.
Power couple of the week. You know him, an American actor, comedian, and SNL alum who went on to star in many Hollywood films.
And you know it, any item or veritable record that is generally accepted as payment for goods and services. We're talking about Adam Sandler.
And money.
So our power couple of the week is Adam Sandler and money.
Yeah, so this guy's laughing all the way to the bank. It's a good couple.
Our power couples are getting so weird.
We're at the point where we're now just trying to match two things up and make sense of it all.
I love it. I really love this segment. I forget what the last one I listened to was, but I like laughed out loud on the subway listening. Be like, oh, what a delightful segment.
That's
awesome.
I was
very excited about this
awesome.
Time.
So these are the two that we've chosen for you.
Are you a Sandler fan?
So I was just this morning thinking about, I tweeted about it, so there's a timestamp on it, that...
We'll go to the record.
It's there. Is that Adam Sandler's first two comedy albums were like broke my brain when I was a kid.
Same.
We had them when we were like slightly too young. Everyone I knew had them confiscated because they were so filthy.
Take that shampoo bottle and shove it up your ass.
That's like to this day, like a piece of comedy. It's dirtier than everything.
It is.
That whole song is just like a filthy sex act.
Yep.
And it's like, I think I must have been like 10 when I heard it. It was like, oh, none of this makes sense at all.
No.
And I think people are very quick to dismiss the stuff, to dismiss him because he's done stuff since then that's not to their liking.
Right.
But like any comedian who's like, yeah, man, I'm like super influenced by Lenny Bruce. It's like, no, you weren't. You tried to learn the Hanukkah song on guitar if you were Jewish. And if you weren't Jewish, then you said, fuck me in the goat ass super loud in public and your parents were ashamed of you.
Yeah.
And that's like how it is.
You did an impression of the Toll Booth Willie.
Toll Booth Willie.
Yeah. They're all going to laugh at you. I had on cassette, so I was that young.
We also had it on cassette.
Yeah.
My friend Alex,
a fucking great album.
My friend Alex Schmidt lived down the street, and we would go into his room and listen to it over and over and over again and cry laughing, and we didn't even know what it was.
It's one of, I mean, I don't, I haven't listened to it in legit 20 years.
I was just thinking, I want to re-listen to it.
I don't know. I'm like, almost want to just preserve it in amber. Mm-hmm. As like, because there's definitely stuff in there that you're like, oh, I wish you hadn't said that. Mm-hmm. I imagine.
Yeah.
But
probably a little like, bro-y, a couple little, but yeah, it's young stoners.
Yeah.
He grabbed a bunch of his friends. Yeah. Like there's a lot of guests. You know, Spade was on there.
Kevin Nealon, I think.
So he got a lot of the just people he was hanging around with. And I'm sure they said a lot of shit in that recording studio.
But
that was
man,
maybe just, but yeah, it was
so like unbelievable for a kid to hear that and just be like, oh, you could just say anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it was incredible. And I think that that's like, a super formative thing that nobody talks about.
Yeah. Right.
That, like, I don't know anyone from my home, like, everyone in my hometown that was into comedy or is into comedy at all played those out until someone's parents heard them and were like, whoa, absolutely not.
Wait one second.
Yeah.
What is that? Yeah, I think it's funny, too, like you're saying, being judged by, like, what you've done lately, which is obviously really common in entertainment, but I'm also, like, even the shitty movies he's making now, he just makes a shit ton of money by hanging out with his friends in like Hawaii for a month.
Well, the joke's on, I think the joke is on the audience for a lot of the movies that, you know, have a Rotten Tomatoes rating of 4%, but yet made, you know, $140 million at the box office.
Right.
Because he gets money, basically just for that to be like, let's get a couple of my friends and we'll make a sequel to this other mediocre movie that no one really liked.
Grown Ups 2, I think it was like it was a exactly weekend where not a lot of big movies came out, but was the number one movie in America. So enough people liked Grown Ups or like trusted that the second one would be good that they went to that, you know, that went to the second one. So it's like, I don't know if somebody is enjoying it.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been some bad, I'm not to say like, well, if people like it, it's good.
Right.
But,
right.
Well, you're tapping into something though that people like.
Yeah. And I think that's, unless it's like destructive or regressive in a upsetting, you know, hurtful way, then it's like, who, like, let him have it.
Yeah. You just don't go see it. If you don't like it, you just don't go see it.
I've never seen it. And like we were, my girlfriend and I were away this week and we were flipping through channels and there weren't that many channels where we were. And we had Pixels came up and we were like, nah. Mm-hmm. And then we watched the end of Furious 7. And you know this life was worse because of Pixels? None of us.
Right.
Maybe better because we got to see Furious 7.
Yes, and we got to see Paul Walker ascend to into heaven.
Drive his
car. Yeah, that whole last really 5 minutes was really something.
We caught like the last 20 minutes and I was like, I don't have any literal understanding of what's happening. Mm-hmm. I just know that this is my favorite movie now. We came in.
It's an amazing movie.
Ludacris and Tyrese and an actor who I didn't recognize right off the bat were like in a car and then she jumped out and got in a car with Michelle Rodriguez and they were shooting missiles at the car and Jason Statham and Vin Diesel were fighting with wrenches and it's just like they just alternated between scenes that I couldn't get enough of.
And you also didn't need any context
for
it.
I don't need to know
how we got to this wrench fight. I just want to see the fucking wrench
fight. The only thing you want to see is when The Rock is in his hospital room.
Oh, when he broke the...
Yes! Yeah. The cast!
I made a motion of it. He was wearing a cast and he saw the news and was like, oh, I'm needed in the news.
Yep.
And then he flexed his arm and his full arm cast shattered away from his body.
And to his daughter, he was like, Daddy's got to go to work.
Yeah.
Yep.
And she was just in his hospital room reading a book.
Yeah.
It was
and then he took to the streets.
He did.
Yeah, that was a...
With his missile launcher, right?
That was worth the price of admission alone. Yeah, yeah. He then just somehow finds the convoy of vehicles that's going on in an overpass with a missile launcher.
It was incredible.
And, yeah.
It was like...
It's epic.
It's... Do all of them like that? Not every movie, but like every action movie. It's just like that was an incredible crescendo of like five different action subplots and just cars driving through. I love it.
Yeah,
and
the bar has been set.
Collapsing.
Action movies. Yeah.
Yeah, the parking garage collapsing.
So good.
It was a real delight.
It was. It sure was. So yeah, Sandler. I mean, you just can't really expect him to evolve as the same kind of comedian you want over the course of 30 years. Now he's been. 25 years. It's hard to evolve and keep finding a new audience or doing stuff that we would like, you know, when we were 13. Now, I mean, what the fuck? People grow and change and do different shit. I don't even know what that means.
There was a really great, I think Bill Simmons wrote it, Grantland article a couple of years ago about how people talk about Eddie Murphy like losing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a defense of Eddie Murphy as being like in the 80s and early 90s, he was like the greatest comedian on earth.
Yeah.
And then for the next 10 years, he made enormously successful family movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you're going to look down your nose at a guy whose box office gross is like completely insane, kept making movies that like people's kids love them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because he didn't do the thing you wanted.
Yeah.
And I think that's, even if I don't 100% agree with that thesis, it's like such an interesting thing to think about of like, oh, this person is succeeding on a rubric that is not my rubric. And that's totally fine.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, because new artists emerge and someone else comes out and that you find a voice that you appreciate more than a 19-year-old Eddie Murphy, who is, of course, not going to be the same as a 30-year-old or 40-year-old or 50-year-old Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, like, and he was just a genius out of the gates.
I mean, on fire. You couldn't possibly keep that pace
up. I think millennials don't know that, though. Do you ever feel like that? Like,
well, Raw's another album that is the place and time. It's again, it's like listening back on it. There are some things, of course,
so good.
But at the time, of course, it was just, and another one that I listened to when I was very young, that was kind of just like, oh fuck, this is, and just seeing the special. It's like just imagining someone with that kind of confidence at that age coming out in that suit and just owning the crowd like that is amazing to even think about.
Was that was the Red Leather?
Yeah. Or was that
Delirious?
Delirious.
Yeah.
Ugh,
but
so
he was a kid.
Yeah, incredible. I mean, like, yeah, an unsustainable pace to set. No one has ever or will ever have that first, like, 5 years of Eddie Murphy's public famous career for over 30 years. Like, you can't just keep doing that.
Nope. Nope. Oh,
we love Eddie Murphy.
We do love Eddie Murphy. We also love Josh Gondelman.
We do.
And so we're going to do a little something called virtual sugar with you, if you don't mind.
So this is where we want to see you in action. So we'd like you to pick a name from this cup.
Okay.
It's the three people in this room, and then you're going to go on an improvised date with them.
Okay.
Yeah, just pretend you're single for a moment.
Just
we're playing make-believe.
I've Murph.
Murph!
Oh, nice. All right, all right. So we're going to go on a date. We can either have been together for 20 years, or it could be the first date, and it doesn't matter where it is.
Date begins now.
Oh, once again at the koi pond.
It's always so beautiful every time. There's something fresh to appreciate about it.
Really? That's, you know, just once a year. It's just a new batch of fish that we get to enjoy.
It's so nice. And this is our seventh?
Seventh? Is it already our seventh batch of koi?
It is. But it's 6 years because this is our first date.
Right, right. And now this is, oh my.
Excuse me. Do you guys have a worm trying to do some fishing?
You don't fish these koi. These are a symbol of our love and our relationship.
I'm hungry.
Okay, well, that's, I guess, fair then.
Well, I don't have a worm, but would you like to come get a cup of soup with us? We always have soup after our yearly koi walk.
You're buying?
Yeah.
Sure.
All right.
And I didn't get your name.
Wilson.
Wilson, very nice to meet you.
Wilson, nice to meet you.
That's my whole name, Wilson.
Very powerful.
Ooh. Thank you.
I like the one name move. So here's this is a tomato bisque. Here.
This is trash.
Wow.
My khakis.
That was, Wilson, I don't know if we should offer you the other soups.
Yeah, I mean, we ordered a half dozen of samplers, and it doesn't seem like you're being very respectful.
We got soup flights.
is the worst date I've ever been on.
Well, Wilson, you kind of just muscled your way into this date. This is our seventh anniversary.
You invited me.
Yeah, but you just showed up. It's like kissing your maid. You can't just do that and be on a date with people.
I kissed my maid. She sued me, took everything I have, and now I'm homeless.
Well, you know, maybe you should have learned a lesson from that.
Yeah, don't kiss a woman without killing her afterwards.
Wow. That's the lesson?
Wrong lesson.
No, that is not the lesson, Wilson. I am taking this chowder and this broccoli. A cream
and,
of broccoli.
And the ceviche.
And the ceviche. And the cream of mushroom.
And the borscht.
They're all
not
going
the
back.
Borscht.
No, the whole flight.
Even the borscht.
I'm getting the hell out of here. But first, I'm going to kiss you both on the mouth.
I don't know if I liked that.
I don't think I liked that.
Seventh anniversary.
I don't think I liked that. That was amazing.
Oh, my.
Sorry I crashed your date, guys.
Well.
That's okay.
Look, it was our seventh. It was a memorable one, you know?
Yeah.
We'll be talking about that for years.
We'll tell the kids about it.
Yep.
Soup is very romantic.
It is. I love the flight of soup. Yep. Just, that's probably a thing.
It's got to be.
There's no way it's not.
As soon as you said soup sampler, I was like, yeah, I want that.
Yeah. Give me six little cups
little
of soup to
soup shooters.
On. Yep.
Yeah, there's definitely a Brooklyn soup flight.
Oh, yeah. It's probably just called, like, bowl.
It is.
Bowl.
And you just sit in a bowl.
Yeah. And just pound shots of soup.
And someone, like, drops little drams of soup into your mouth.
Oh, yeah. It's all eyedroppers.
Yeah. Soup eyedroppers make me sad.
You know what else makes me sad?
What is it?
We gotta say goodbye to Josh Gondelman.
No.
I know, but our listeners don't have to say goodbye.
They do not. That's right. You guys can follow him on Twitter at Josh Gondelman.
And stop by joshgondelman.com.
And please check out his book, You Blew It, An Awkward Look at the Many Ways in Which You've Already Ruined Your Life. Thank you, Josh.
Really
thank you.
Writer. Thank you so much.
Such
for
a pleasure.
Here.
This was so fun. We'd also like to thank our producer, Barry Manilow. That's Ben Hosley.
And our mama, UCB Comedy. Thank you for letting us suckle at your teat in the studio. Please tweet at us at Menage Radio.
Yeah, and Happy New Year, everybody.
Oh, yes. 3, 2, 1.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Menage a Trois is recorded at UCB Comedy Studios in New York City. Titillating tunes brought to you by French Horn Rebellion. Check out all things funny at ucbcomedy.com and subscribe to Menage a Trois Radio on iTunes for new episodes every hump day. That's Wednesday for all you lovers out there.